FaithFit Radio and the Diocese of Orlando presents Saints Who Lead Us with Catherine Laguna, a program that is seeking to lead young adults to Christ and to enkindle a deeper faith that is fully alive. Now, here is your host.
Welcome back to the Saints Who Lead Us podcast. I'm Catherine Laguna. Oh my goodness, I cannot believe the summer's kind of coming to a close. I mean, not so much the actual season because it's like the Sahara Desert out there, but definitely for those who are heading back to school. So I just wanted to pray and wish all the kiddos and young adults in college a good start to the school year, but especially our teachers, our paraprofessionals, coaches, anyone who has such a strong influence on our kids. Hey, it wasn't that long ago that I remember waiting for the public school bus to pick me up at 6:30 in the morning. What? It was way too early. And I have no idea how I did it or how I managed to have good hair in high school because this beautiful Florida humidity is just so lovely. But just think, by the time you get to college, you get to pick your classes and schedule them all to start at noon. That was the best part ever. And for the rest of us, I have just one small special request. While we are getting used to the dozens of school buses on the road again, and I noticed it this morning, let's make a pact to drive a little slower, a little safer around the school zones. If we practice a little patience, we'll keep our kids safe out there, and that's the most important part. Well, this week, as I search fiercely for a saint, the life of Saint Maximilian Kolbe is the one that spoke to me, and for two specific reasons. So the first reason is, I love history. I enjoy reading it. I watch the History Channel all the time and the Discovery Channel. That's something that I always did with my dad growing up. Sometimes we could spend an entire Saturday having theology discussions when religion came up or on the History Channel. It was a lot of fun. But don't catch me off guard and quiz me on the street now. It's cool to learn of different time periods, though, and seeing different cultures and how they live. There are many history events that have left impactful impressions on us, right? I mean, I learned about World War I and II in history books, but there are plenty of people out there who knows exactly how it went down personally. And for my children, well, the future children, they don't exist yet, but they'll learn about 9/11 in textbooks. But for me, I remember exactly where I was in the 9th grade algebra class. So for everybody, it's a little bit different. And with Saint Maximilian Kolbe, we get to see how the events of World War II affected his faith and his trust in the Virgin Mary, and especially those he influenced with his generosity and his humility. So that was the first reason. And so the second reason why St. Maximilian's life spoke to me is because I feel as though I got a very small taste, very small, of what it was like for him to serve people in prison. St. Max was also in prison a few times, but I'll get to his experience and my own a little later in the podcast. So back to the History Channel. St. Maximilian's life is so enriched in history, or maybe I feel that way because it's history that I grew up learning about in public school, right? St. Max was in his 40s when World War II officially began, but before that, let me not get ahead of myself, St. Max was born in the Kingdom of Poland in 1894. It was part of the Russian Empire. Doesn't it sound crazy? Kingdom of Poland, Russian Empire. It sounds like it's so long ago, but it really wasn't. St. Max's faith is typically depicted by a single vision he had of our Blessed Mother when he was 12. That is very young. So this is what he said about his experience. That night, I asked the Mother of God what was to become of me. Then she came to me holding two crowns, one white, the other red. She asked me if I was willing to accept either of these crowns. The white one meant that I should persevere in purity, and the red one that I should become a martyr. I said that I would accept them both. I was leaning more on the purity crown, but he accepted them both. I don't know why it took me by surprise, because before I even read that final sentence, his entire experience came off like that feeling when the end of the chapter of your favorite novel is around the corner and you know something huge is about to happen. Well, that's what St. Max just did to me right now. And that's why St. Max is so intriguing. He has many different layers of his humanity. I think his journey and the decisions that he made throughout his life is proof that his faith is very strong. Okay, so question. And by now you know that I love asking things. If you can come up with one goal, one purpose for your life from this moment forward, what would it be? I have to really think about that one. But I'll just tell you St. Max's, because St. Max's goal puts mine to shame. So in his life, he wanted to work for the conversion of sinners and enemies of the church. Dun, dun, dun. See, I feel like I have to come up with a more intricate life goal. Like, that's incredible. And history does show that he did work for the conversion of sinners. After becoming a priest, he continued to work promoting Mary throughout Poland. He even took on publishing. Now that would have been my life goal. I want to be a published author one day. And I think the publishing magazine that he did was like a monthly newsletter, and it was called Knights of the Immaculate. And that's Knights with a K. And because of that, he founded a Franciscan monastery, which became a major religious publishing center. What would it have been like to work there? So those aren't the only monasteries, though. He founded some in Japan and India. I read that one of them in Japan is still open and is very important in the Roman Catholic Church in Japan. That's about if we are rounding, because I was really good at English class and not math class, but I'm going to say 90 years plus. If you have ever thought your influence cannot make a difference decades from now, St. Max is proving that wrong. This leads us to the second reason why St. Maximilian's life spoke to me. Now remember, this is the part where it said a very small taste. So when the World War II invasion by Germany began, St. Max became one of the only Franciscans to remain at the monastery. Very courageous. He opened up a temporary hospital, still working on his life's goal, but eventually his town was captured and he spent 3 months in prison before being released. I don't really think he took into an account of the risks that he was taking. I mean, he knows all the violence of war going on around him, but it didn't stop him from going right back to work in his monastery. It's like he needed to make sure that light of Christ, the power, the love of God was still among them, even though death and destruction is mainly what was witnessed there. So he provided shelter for any refugees, and that sometimes included hiding Jews from the German persecution. So down the line, St. Max's monastery is eventually shut down officially, and he was arrested again. So this time, he was transferred to Auschwitz. Even with the violence and the harassment he dealt with, he never lost his compassion or the promise he made to the Virgin Mary. On the second month of imprisonment, men were chosen to face death by starvation to teach everyone a lesson in any ideas of escape. So instead of a father being one of the men facing death, St. Max offered himself. If you have ever seen different photos or paintings of St. Max, you'll notice that he's dressed in prison clothes and he has a needle in hand. That's because after 2 weeks of starvation, the guards gave him a lethal injection of carbolic acid, and his story tells us that he raised his left arm and calmly waited for death. I think St. Maximilian teaches us that life can be brutal and unfair, but no one can ever take away your faith or your hope. Remember that. You can strive every day to be a better person than you were yesterday. There's always second chances. We might all be on different journeys, but that doesn't mean we should ignore those we come across who are hurting, being discriminated against, or those who might feel completely abandoned. So I wanted to end this podcast with a short story, or I'll try to make it a short story. Back when I was writer-photographer, I did some research so I could get clearance to go with Bishop Noonan and Deacon David Gray to the Central Florida Reception Center. And if you guys don't know, it's a state prison. And Bishop Noonan visits inmates who request sacraments. Now, this is after much preparation, and it's a long process. Many parishes have different prison ministries who also take part. Hey, if you think that this ministry is your calling, ask your parish for more information on it. Maybe your parish already has a prison ministry. So for this particular visit, Bishop Noonan was going to meet with a man named Paul, who's been taking the classes so he can receive the sacrament of confirmation. Even though Paul was the only one receiving the sacrament that day, there were others there gathered too for Mass. Some were of Catholic faith, others Christians, and the rest of no faith at all. Paul had some time with Bishop Noonan for confession. That was pretty cool. I got the chance to take some photos and of the entire Mass as well. It was nice to see how excited everyone was for Paul. And looking back at that moment, it makes me feel as though we were leading by St. Maximilian's example. He helped those who were in prison, not even knowing anything about them or their past. Our responsibility, I think, as a church, is to practice forgiveness and be the light of hope among other things. Could you imagine how comforting it must have been for people to see the hope of Christ within St. Max? Even though war surrounded them all, imagine if Paul's desire to receive the sacrament of confirmation opened the hearts of one or more of the men gathered in that social hall in the state prison. Think about how you live your life. Maybe your personality, your hope, your love for Christ is inspiring others around you. You might not even think people are watching, but really, they really are. St. Maximilian's life also inspired many people, and it was all possible because a 12-year-old boy said yes to those two crowns given to him by the Virgin Mary. He's known as the Apostle of Consecration to Mary because of his devotion. Thank you for listening to Saints Who Lead Us. Until next time, have a fabulous day.
FaithFit Radio and the Diocese of Orlando presented Saints Who Lead Us with Catherine Laguna. Thank you for listening. Check out the podcast at faithfitradio.org and tune in next time. May you be blessed with peace and joy.